Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We're going to discuss the main reasons why rappers have a problem maintaining relevant in today's hip-hop landscape. And what better way to start than discussing the first rapper ever to have a chart-topping song, yet was seen as nothing more than an absolute joke solely due to the color of his skin. When Vanilla Ice started blowing up in the early 1990s, hip-hop began having a suspicion of white rappers and the success they obtained. Because even though Ice was regarded as someone who had fabricated a story about growing up in the hood, and even got pressed for it on national television,
they're showing their own jealousy, man. That's all it is. You saw Flavor Flav, you know, me and him, we're homies.
Is that why you brought him out, just to show you have a black supporter? And
no, I brought him out because he's a friend of mine. They don't like that, man.
Why Suburbia didn't care. All that mattered was that his tracks were catchy and that he was deemed cool enough for people to listen to. As a result, Vanilla Ice went on to make history when he scored hip-hop's first chart-topping hit with his track Ice Ice Baby from 1990.
Collaborate and listen.
This song essentially turned Vanilla Ice into an overnight star, which Vanilla Ice himself is on record claiming it was solely due because of having a white audience.
Like, I never thought I'd ever play for white people until my music went number one. And when it went number one, all of a sudden my crowds went, well, I went from smaller crowds to huge stadiums in rap music. It just hadn't been done like that before. So for me, I was just like, whoa.
However, as Vanilla Ice eventually became more known in the rap community, he wasn't necessarily seen as a symbol of white success in hip-hop. Rather, he was just a prime example of how commercializing the genre could go wrong. This made it so that when a new white rapper came along, people tended to be skeptical or even downright not liking them right away. Although he's just a part of the fabric today, this is something that Eminem also really dealt with firsthand early in his career, as he constantly felt forced to justify his existence in the game.
Music is part image, but overall, music is not visual. You know what I'm saying? You hear music, you listen to music. When it boils down to it, it's what the person is saying. It's just, music is just like football or any sport. If you're good at it, you're good at it, and it don't care what color you are, what you look like, or nothing like that.
But despite M's belief that skills were all that mattered, it isn't necessarily the case. And as late as 2022, M admitted that he was still hurt over the white rapper criticism he received during the early stages of his career. When things started happening for me, I was getting a lot of heat being a white rapper. And XXL...
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
know something about that, Eminem said. I remember going to one of those newsstands in New York when the magazine had just started out, and I bought that and a couple of other rap magazines. I flipped to the last page, and XXL was dissing me. What the fuck? He then stated how he felt hurt because they didn't know him, and emphasized the respect and awareness he had for the genre's roots. But it's not just XXL. Even rappers like Lord Jamar are constantly downplaying any ounce of his success as a white man in a black man's genre.
When we go into everyday life of black people, the people who are the originators of this shit, we don't fucking listen to Eminem. We don't listen to Eminem.
Obviously, M overcame these hurdles and went on to have one of the most successful careers hip-hop has ever seen. But where Shady went on to dominate the game, it should also be noted that he's the only white rapper to really do this for any sustained length of time. As when it comes to some of the other people discussed in this video, they don't all necessarily achieve the same outcome. As many people have pointed out over the years, white rappers are often capable of getting to the top of the game, especially if they sign to a label who can provide additional support. This is something that the Sicilian-born rapper, Russ, was perfectly happy to accept in a recent interview.
I think if you're a white rapper, it might be harder to break through the hip-hop space because it's a black space. But if you do, it's easier to go mainstream if you're white. That's like, I feel like that's a very known thing.
But while it might be easy for a rapper to get to the top, it has also proven time and time again that it's incredibly difficult for them to maintain in that position. Because usually, these rappers don't stay famous for a long time and end up fading away to make room for the next white rapper to take the spotlight. And as their careers continue on, they fall out of favor with everyone except their core fan base, making all those hits and number one records nothing more than a distant memory. Take a look at Mac Miller's journey, for example. Now, in the wake of his death, everyone is all too happy to share their praise of this Pittsburgh rapper and producer, who truly seemed to be one of the good guys within an industry that's often filled with sharks. But you would be lying if you said that he was always viewed this way. After all, Mac Miller only had one number one record with 2011's Blue Slide Park, released at the height of what was known as the frat rap era in hip-hop that also produced artists like Hoodie Allen and Asher Roche. Mac's music evolved extremely well throughout the years, and moved far beyond his early work, all the way up to his last album, Swimming, in 2018. And rather than be celebrated by the culture at that time, he was widely disrespected for daring to drop on the same day as Travis Scott, as he was unveiling his highly anticipated album titled Astroworld at the same time. This moment was summed up perfectly by Ugly God, who wrote, "Remember when Mac dropped his album the same night Astroworld dropped, and y'all were saying, 'Y'all hear something? Who listens to him? And tell him to keep it?' We had a whole convo about it, and he literally told me if he died, people would act like they never said it. Fuck y'all. R.I.P. Now, it seems like everyone claims they've always supported Mac, and didn't just set him aside for the next big thing at the time. Even Anthony Fantano fell into this category, changing the review score of Swimming from a 3 to an 8 following his death.
I'm definitely seeing this project as one of Mac's better works as opposed to one of his worst at the time that I originally reviewed it, and am now feeling a strong 7 to a light 8 on this one.
Since the feeling that success for white rappers is often short-lived, it can cause conflicts to occur between them. This is a tradition that goes all the way back to Third Base's video for Pop Goes the Weasel, where they spent time attacking a Vanilla Ice lookalike with bats. Naturally, this sense that there can only be one leads to friction. And over the years, everyone from Eminem and Everlast to MGK and G-Eazy have found themselves in the heat of battle. While rappers like Action Bronson and Paul Wall have even gone as far as to say that they personally dislike white people rhyming, with the exception of themselves.
I myself hate listening to white rappers.
But rather than be something that solely exists in the rappers' heads, the music industry actually tries to pit these white rappers against each other for the purpose of sales. If you don't believe that, well, look no further than what happened to underground rap legend R.A. the Rugged Man when Eminem was at the top of his game.
When M blew up, I had every label on the planet calling me to do a diss record for us, do a diss record, diss Eminem. I'm telling you, I'm saying, fuck, he's a white boy. You're calling white boy to diss white boy. You know, I think Suge got Milkbone to do a diss record to M. Like, right. They would reach out to white boy rappers. Like, and then, like, you know, Priority was like, look, you're the only white boy that could do it. You're better than him. You'll destroy him.
While R.A. never bought into the idea that white rappers had the battle for supremacy, others still do. So when Jack Harlow, who is probably the reigning champion of white rappers in the mainstream as of today, called himself the hardest white boy since Eminem on his track They Don't Love It,
never the hardest white boy since the one who rapped about vomiting sweaters,
it prompted a diss from another fellow white rapper, MGK, as he felt the need to respond in a freestyle over Eminem's famous Renegade instrumental.
I see why they call you Jack Man. You Jack Man's whole swag. Get Drake his flow back, man.
And of course, it went viral. But as we know, a white MC's time at the peak of their career.
Want to try a free sample?
Oh yeah, I do. Wait, time to consult the online experts.
You only eat after you're walking 10,000 steps.
Stop it!
They don't know your body. Only you do. Signos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Signos.com, Signos.com, with code SPARK. Signos.
...is usually short-lived, and in some ways, Jack Harlow is already showing signs of a decline. A charismatic individual who has been rhyming since he was in high school, Jack initially knew how to keep the rap community on his team, because he understood both the advantages and issues caused by being a white boy in a black art form.
Yeah, I got a lot of white fans, of course, because they feel like, ooh, I could be that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have black fans, but I don't know if they ever have a moment where they say, ooh, I could be that.
Right.
I see myself in him. So that's just what it is. I think the key is to make sure you have some rap records on every album.
Alongside claiming that he was going to stay true to the culture and make real hip-hop, humor and personality were also his biggest allies. And it made for some of the most mediocre musical moments as well, which was said perfectly by YouTuber Sean C.
Like, never have I seen that level of personality able to carry someone so far when the music is just so average, or the music is just so, like, there's nothing about it that takes anything farther. I don't know what it is about white artists, for the most part, that just makes it so, yeah, this is the one. Like, this is the one we gotta go with. When there are a million other of the exact same of this guy that are black, that do the same thing, and that do it better for the most part.
Although he had everything going for him, Jack's album Come Home, The Kids Miss You wasn't exactly the smash success everyone expected. It underperformed commercially and was also universally seen as a letdown by his fans and critics, who stated things like, disappointing album from an artist that knows how to make a good single, repetitive bullshit from a normally fun and charismatic rapper. In what seemed like a direct response to the criticism, Harlow followed up a year later with Jackman, a project where he went back to straight up rapping, which many felt like wasn't a smart move and would end up deterring him from the financially successful path he was once on.
I think the demo for Jack Harlow is 15 to 33. What the fuck is he doing here? Yeah, that's why this is weird to me. Because he just sold way too many records and they put way too much money in him just now. And he did all right.
This feels like it's trying to be his rapper album.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe
it's kind of good, though.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I know you have to spend money to get a return, and this is silent. This is quiet. Mm-hmm. So I would be interested to see. This sound like less than 30,000 copies.
Sure enough, Joe was pretty much right, as the album went on to sell just 31,000 copies in its first week of being released, which is crazy considering that he sold 113,000 for his previous record, and it ultimately comes down to just two things. For one, he ended up losing any hardcore hip-hop fans who are still somewhat interested in him with Come Home, The Kids Miss You. But then, he produced an album which probably alienated those fans he gained from pop records like First Class. So with sales like that, it's no surprise that he went back to big nostalgic samples and heavy TikTok promotion for his latest single, Lovin' On Me. And while that record did go number one, it's unclear how long he can keep up this act of trying to appease rap and cater to girls that thirst over him at the same time. Because if he churns out another record like Come Home, The Kids Miss You, all that talk about him being the face of the game going forward will dry up fast, as rather than bring a new flavor to the game, he's just chasing trends and trying to feed the charts. And as a drop-off between G-Eazy's These Things Happen and its sequel 7 years later tells us, that could be disastrous for a white rapper who was once at the top. Because throughout his career, G-Eazy always fought to maintain his legitimacy in hip-hop and tried to prove that he was a real student of the game.
This is who I am, this is what I grew up with, this is what I do.
Is it even fair to make you a representative for stuff like that? Like, when those things come up, do you feel it's fair for the pressure to be on you, or do you take the challenge? Like, how do you handle it?
It is what it is. Life is life. You know what I mean? Like, you can't run from it or duck from it or anything, or try to make it sound like it's unfair. I'm lucky to be here, you know what I mean? Like, I fell in love with something at an early age, and I worked hard for it.
When on the rise, the Bay Area rapper was pulling in respectable numbers, like 47K for his project titled These Things Happen, and working with megastars like Cardi B, Rocky, and French Montana to create hits like No Limit, which accumulated over 600 million views on YouTube. With his 2017 album, The Beautiful and Damned, selling a whopping 122,000 copies in its first week, people were truly amazed to see that just 4 years later, the sequel These Things Happen 2 sold to just 19K in that same time frame. frame. His fans claimed that they felt like he had simply given up after losing his momentum, essentially marking the end of his relevance. These days, G-Eazy has been trying to sing instead of rap on recent records, as he probably saw the usual writing on the wall for white rappers and tried to evolve to stay relevant. However, some rappers were smart enough to make transitions to other genres just before the rap bag eventually dried out, such as Post Malone and Machine Gun Kelly. After he leaned out of hip-hop, Post Malone started dabbling with making country music, and he still somehow managed to sell out arenas. As for MGK, turning to pop punk pretty much saved his career in his own estimations, after his feud with Eminem made him hip-hop's favorite punching bag for an extended period of time. Now, after proving his success in another lane, he's hoping to reclaim his spot by doubling back to rap. But just because he's found success in this new lane, it doesn't necessarily mean he's immune to the rules that surround a white rapper's inevitable decline. Elsewhere, you have people like Lil Dicky, who literally claimed that hip-hop was nothing more than a stepping stone for him.
That I guess I've always kind of thought that I was meant to be something, like from an entertainer perspective. And the first thing that, you know, like when class clown in middle school, high school, like the feedback was generally like, you're a funny person.
Yeah.
So the reason I started rapping was to get to be noticed as a comedic presence. Like I started rapping because of that purpose.
By using rap as a way to fulfill his dreams as an entertainer, Dicky used the fame he did have to launch his show Dave and didn't drop a single record for 9 years. And in the TV world, he got respect that he never received in rap circles. As proven by the fact that when he finally returned to the rap game by releasing the soundtrack to Dave entitled Penneth, the response was so muted that he only sold 16k first week. And the numbers on YouTube are a long way from the 760 million he pulled in for tracks like Freaky Friday. The bottom line for white rappers is that if you're trying to just exist in the current space like Jack Harlow does or G-Eazy and MGK used to, you're always going to experience hip-hop gradually looking past you to the next big thing. Where white MCs in the underground like LP, ASAP Rock, and Atmosphere have maintained huge fan bases by bringing something unique to the game, the Caucasian artists in the mainstream are often willing to retrace the footsteps of what's popping commercially. And until someone like Eminem comes around again, who takes the mainstream and turns it on its head, we're going to see a lot more white rappers suffering the same kind of inevitable downfall that they really could have seen coming, or maybe even stopped if they studied what went on before.